The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys, not from Asia, talk about American issues no American gives a fuck about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
I'm Mike Nguyen.
And welcome. This is our 40th episode.
Yes, and we're recording from...
Oh, that's right. We are coming at you live today from the Listening Party Studios inside the Canal Street Market as part of the Canal Street Radio and Family FM Network. So shouts to those guys. I just had bubble tea before I started talking, and now it's stuck in my throat. Ugh. So if you could just talk for a second and I could swallow, that'd be great.
Okay, that's gross. I have a regular coffee. Because I just
you just got coffee?
I just got coffee.
From the same spot?
From a different spot.
Oh, okay.
But you know what it is? I've been spending a lot of money, and I feel like boba is sometimes a luxury.
How much was this?
I don't even know. I think it was like $5.
That's a lot. That's a lot, dude.
That's a lot. Like, we make fun of white girls for pumpkin spice lattes, which are $8. But, you know, we got to look down at our own cups.
I know.
And see what's in them.
Did they give you those cards, those point cards?
No, I didn't get one of those.
Because we come here every week, basically, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I'm basically a shareholder there.
You should tell... Do you tell them that you're on the podcast?
No.
Maybe we get, like, some sort of discount or something.
That'd be kind of cool.
We should talk to...
What a weird way to get a discount.
I don't know. You know, we got some fans here. We're kind of famous here.
In this tiny corner here.
My God.
Upwards of 2 or 3 people recognize us.
I know.
It's pretty sweet.
So we recorded like a couple days ago. I feel like I've seen you so often this week.
We hang out now, and it makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I don't like it either.
And yeah. I don't know if our fans know. We don't like each other very much at all. And this podcast it's like a marriage that's dead, but we're staying together for the kids. And that's what this is. This podcast is a kid.
It's like, let's do it for the kid.
Oh, God. Okay, here we are.
Let's get right into it. Let's thank our new Patreon supporters for the week. Let's see. We only have... we got two this week. That's pretty good.
Yes,
two
that's awesome.
People. And here we go. And this is for the new listeners. We do a thing where we try to guess where you're from based on your last name. It's a very racist game. But
super racist.
It's very fun. So we're going to do it. First contributor. Port Lau, LAU.
Well, wait.
$2.75.
$2.75.
Yeah. Obviously not his SAT score.
That's not his SAT score. No. What significance is $2.75?
The minimum is $2, so maybe he was just saying...
Well, he just wanted to throw us a little extra?
Yeah.
You know?
But, like, not too much. I don't know. This is a very Chinese move to me. I don't know.
It is. But is it? Because it's like he's tipping. But he's not.
He's tipping.
Is he tipping us?
This is a tip, bro.
Is it a tip?
This is a shitty tip.
No, it's not. 75 cents off of $2.
Bro, but if you went to a bar and you got a PBR, it's $2, you're going to give the bartender 75 cents.
True. What's his first name? Port?
Port. P-O-R-T. That's like some...
Port.
That sounds like some cool trumpet player's name or something, you know?
Like Cole Porter.
Yes. Maybe this person is not even Chinese.
Maybe
half,
he's not. Maybe.
Half black, half Chinese. That's what I'm going with.
Is jazz musician.
Yes.
All right, who's the other person?
Well, thank you, Port.
Thanks, Port.
That was very nice of you. Thanks for tipping. Always nice to see Asians breaking stereotypes. Then we have another Patreon. This guy gave us $5.
Whoa.
Kelvin.
Stop.
Kelvin. Kelvin Chin.
Kelvin. I already know him in my mind. His name's Kelvin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been named after...
A scientist, right?
A temperature gauge thing.
Right.
Right. And so he's already there, and I'm sure when he was in Ochem and people were like boiling things and like what's the boiling point of whatever, it's like 850 degrees Kelvin, and people would look at him, and he probably is so tired of it. But I like that name.
That's such a specific, like, getting picked on because of your name moment. But that's probably what happened,
right? Because it's not Kevin.
He still chose to be a science major despite his name,
right? Or maybe he's not. Maybe he's a jazz musician.
Maybe he's a jazz musician. But Chin, what do we think? Chin.
I mean, could be Korean name, but no, Kelvin. Kelvin's a Chinese move.
That's a Chinese move.
You know what it is? Okay, we got two dudes now.
Yeah,
Port.
Yeah,
Port and Kelvin. I knew a lot of people growing up. A really Chinese name is True.
T-R-U?
True. Yeah. True, like true or false?
Oh, T-R-U-E. Okay.
Yeah. And I was trying to find this person on Facebook, and I was like, okay, I typed in the word true, and there was like 500 like of this person's name, and I was like, well, I didn't know this was like a very common name. But like, you know, the way I feel sometimes, like it's kind of like how my wife's name is Gina, mm-hmm. but it kind of works in Korean and in English where it's Gina, China, right? And it's also, you know, so it's a Korean name but an American name.
Gina, so, is it a Korean name? Gina.
I don't know how to say it. Yeah, you know, so, but it works in both languages.
Wow.
So I feel like maybe Port might be that, or maybe, and I don't know about Kelvin. Kelvin's definitely a shout out to science, but, you know, like, it's very interesting how we pick our first names.
Yes.
You know, usually it's a religious thing, or it's like, yeah, it's similar to.
I would love to interview like an Asian parent to just go, like an Asian parent who just had the baby in the hospital, just like, what's going through your head right now in terms of first names?
I feel that would be
they get the
very
weirdest fucking names, man. I know a bunch of Fridas.
Frida.
I know a bunch of Fridas.
Frida.
Chinese Fridas. A bunch of them.
Frida.
A whole.
I mean, that's a sick
whole
name.
Thing. Yeah. Right. Well, shouts to, you know, Port and Kelvin. The uniquest Asian names of all times. Thank you so much. And listeners, if you don't know what we're doing right now, we have a Patreon page where you can support our show and make donations to our cause. And so if you want to get involved, please check us out on patreon.com/Asian, not Asian. And speaking of unique Asians.
This person is a very funny comedian.
Yes.
Writer too?
Yeah, yeah.
Performer?
Aren't we all?
Model?
I sort of.
Model? For sure, model.
Kind of.
I've seen you in a Subway ad.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, holy shit.
That's true.
That's a much bigger credit than we'll ever get.
Yeah, I was looking on your website and it listed all these things like Comedy Central. You were in a movie, right?
I was in a short film. Like,
which was on Amazon, I believe.
It
was on Amazon.
That is true.
Give it up right now for Jess Tong.
Jess Tong,
yay.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing
See,
the show.
See, we did that. We did that.
We
that
did.
Wasn't so bad.
It really took mainly you. So I think we were just here.
That's all right. I know who I am.
Yes. At the top here, we've all got our drinks.
Yes.
Yes.
We've got, and your boba drink. Boba, I think you can learn a lot about an Asian person through their boba consumption thing.
Yes.
And okay, how long have you been drinking boba for?
Oh, man, I would say a cool 15 years.
Wait,
damn,
that's
OG.
A long time.
OG, well,
15,
well,
16, 17. Well, I'm from the Bay.
You're from the Bay.
And you're from the Bay too,
yes, I'm
right?
From the, and so, because there, in California in general, but especially the Bay, mm-hmm. the boba's been around for like a minute.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, Asian people have been around for a minute.
Yeah, we
so
have.
All of our stuff has been there, too.
I love that people just keep, quote unquote, discovering. We were just talking about this. Like, now we saw that drink that had collagen in it.
Right. Yes, we did. We just saw at this fancy coffee shop a lemonade that has collagen inside.
Ooh.
And Mike and I were talking about how Asian people have been eating collagen in noodles for, like, thousands of years.
That's the stuff that's inside, like, whales or something like that.
It's like inside of a bone. It's like the cartilage of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I think when you eat like tendon and stuff like that like chewy,
it's all
like
that chewy
gelatinous.
I see that word on a lot of Asian facial.
Yes, yes,
products,
exactly.
Right,
but that's why we look like this.
Oh snap! Don't tell our secrets.
Yes. No, but that's the thing is that they're discovering the secrets and now they're putting it in lemonade and
my God.
So they're taking all the things that we put into our soups and putting it into kombucha. You know what I'm saying? Which, by the way, is probably another thing they stole. You're drinking. Tell us about your boba combination.
So this is, this is specific to this brand. I guess we have to shout out Boba Guys, which, by the way, is a Bay Area company.
What?
Yes, yeah. That's a San Francisco. Like, the reason it's trendy like this is because it's one of these kind of like second generation boba places that was started by Asian Americans.
Word?
Yeah, which exists a lot in the Bay in California.
Yes,
out
yes,
here,
yes, yes.
Boba Guys is kind of the only one.
Right.
But my Boba Guys order is Muscat Oolong iced 25% sweet with oat milk, or I'll take almond or soy with almond jelly and boba.
Damn,
dude.
You know, that's like when a rapper drops the really, really dope lyric, you know? You just did that, because you did that like without even stuttering. It's like, oh, yo, check me out.
I just know what it is.
What was the first word you said?
Muscat.
What is muscat?
That grape?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, muscat grape. I actually, I hate to do this. I don't hate to do this
Please
thing
do it.
Where I say something I wrote on Twitter. But I just recently tweeted this thing about, you know, people say, or people think since I'm a fifth generation American, I've lost all my culture. But if that's true, then explain why my favorite flavor is muscat. Some things just don't go away.
No, they don't.
We love muscat.
Damn. We have, and I love, what I love about boba places in general is that they have Asian flavors. So they don't have, like, for example, vanilla. Mm-hmm. They have taro.
Yes.
Which is the same thing. It tastes the same, but like, and it's the root and all that stuff. And weirds out white people.
Because it's purple.
But that's really why I drink it. It's because it is purple. It is awesome.
Right.
And so, okay. So going back to the boba thing, you've got a mix. So which jelly is this?
It's almond jelly.
Almond jelly.
Is that different from the jelly I got?
That's,
You have boba. You have straight boba, but you have a mix of boba and almond jelly.
Oh, this white thing right here.
Yeah.
Now, how come you do that?
So sneaky.
I mean, I get it because they have it there and they don't really have that anywhere else.
Yes.
Almond jelly is, you guys know almond jelly?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's usually you eat it with like fruit cocktail.
Yes. And it's inside of the fruit and then like got to scoop it out with a spoon.
That's one of my favorite things to eat. But so you don't just find stuff like that around here. So since they have it at this place, I just get it because I like to have it.
Is that a Cantonese thing?
Maybe.
Because there's a lot of food, like I'm from, you know, I grew up in the Bay. I'm not from the Bay, but I lived there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that you can't get here.
Yes.
Because this is not a Cantonese population.
Yes, that's true. And the types of foods that you can get more commonly out here are not the same
as
what I grew up eating.
Dang, so this is almost like a chicken noodle soup for you.
Yeah, it is. It's very comforting, very home-like.
Oh my God, here I am on Hyde Street. You know?
Yes. I feel like, so you two are both from the Bay Area.
Yes.
That's where you grew up.
Yes.
Right, Bay Area Asians, for me, as a Midwestern Asians, an Asian, you guys are very advanced.
Yes. Right? Cali Asians are different, man.
Yes, for sure.
And I really want to get into that today because you've always been my point of reference.
Yes.
And you had just mentioned you are fifth generation Asian American.
Yes.
Right?
I am.
Which makes
That's true.
American as fuck.
Yes.
You are
more American than Donald Trump.
Way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah.
Does he know that? We should tell him.
I know.
No, he doesn't know that.
No, don't tell him. I don't want him to know who I am.
Like, oh, I don't like this person. So are you fifth generation on both sides?
No, I'm fifth generation on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, I'm more like second generation.
Mm.
But I say fifth generation because it freaks white people out more. Right? Like the taro thing.
So your dad is fifth generation?
My mom is fifth. My mom is fourth generation.
Oh, your mom's fourth.
My dad is first gen. So his parents, my grandparents on my dad's side, are immigrants. I'm also half Japanese and half
Chinese.
Which
is the Japanese side?
The Japanese side is the side that's been here a long time.
Ooh,
Chinese side is the side that got.
Do you
here
know
more
the history?
Did they have? Yeah.
Yes.
And were they at one of the camps?
Yes.
Whoa.
Which one?
My grandmother's family was at Poston 2.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather's family, I'm not sure where they were, but they were also in camp, yes.
That is fucked. I don't have a lot of Japanese American friends. Do you?
Yeah. I mean,
because you're from that area, right? See, honestly, Dan Harumi is probably the only Asian American. He's the only Asian American guy I know because where I grew up and in New York, we have a lot of Japanese immigrants. So all my friends' names are like Hiroshi, you know?
Right.
Right, mine is fucking Masafumi. I don't have any like Tony Takadas. I don't have any, you know, but the Bay is full of
Japanese people. And you know, I really consider, and I think this will be interesting to talk to you about, Fumi, but I really think that being Japanese-American, like a multi-generational Japanese-American, is a wholly different identity from being 100%. Like Japanese.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just right off the bat, when you see a Japanese trend or like an interesting, you know, Japanese invention coming this way, how do you feel? Do you identify with it?
I think I would need an example.
Okay, even take something like K-pop, for example, which something like this exists in Japan, right? We call it J-pop, but it's these girls who dress up. And, you know, like when you see something like that, is that as foreign to you as something like lacrosse? Or, you know, like when you see Asian pop stars or Japanese sex toys, you know, when you hear about the advance of Japanese sex toys, which is, you know, my topic of expertise. You know, how do you relate to that?
That's interesting. That's because sex toys are my area of expertise. Yeah, I mean, yeah, in that, like, it's something that's coming from abroad. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sort of a foreign thing to me. You know what's interesting, though, as far as, like, K-pop stars, K-pop idols goes, I say sometimes, you know, growing up, in the States. And also, I mean, nobody who's listening knows what I look like, but I'm a fairly gender nonconforming to masculine spectrum side person, presenting mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But growing up a little, like, quote unquote, Asian girl in the US and like looking at media and everything, that actually was okay for my self-esteem, because seeing like white women and white people everywhere, I was like, okay, I'm not ever really going to look like that. So I never have to strive towards that.
Hmm.
And then when I started seeing K-pop idols, I was like, oh shit. I was like, I don't look good. I don't look good. So that was crazy for me. Fortunately, at that point, I was already like 20 years old, and I was like, okay, I know better, and I have to like.
Okay, let me rephrase this. When do you feel the most Japanese, if you even feel that way?
I feel Japanese American, and mm-hmm. I feel Japanese American as fuck. Like
moments do you feel Japanese American?
Let me tell you this. In the Bay and in certain parts of California, I am Japanese American activist royalty.
Okay.
Which is a horrible. That is a real oxymoron. I understand that those two things don't really go together, but they kind of do. My family's been here a really long time. Different people in my family have been involved in significant, historical events
mm-hmm.
That have happened within the Japanese American community. There is a person in my family who, in Riverside, California, owned a house and then leased it, I guess, under his kids' names, his kids were born in the U.S. He was an immigrant from Japan, and at that time it was illegal for Japanese people to own land in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lawsuit brought against him, like California versus this guy, mm-hmm. and he won the lawsuit and got to keep the house. The house is a historical marker. It's like a museum now.
What?
So, like, that's happened. My grandfather was a pretty well-known Japanese-American activist after, in the years following World War II. He was a very big proponent of seeking redress from the government, trying to get the government to apologize and, like, pay back the community.
Mm-hmm.
Recently I was in L.A. at the Japanese-American National Museum. There's a picture of my grandfather in there.
Dang.
Like, whoa! I expect to walk into these places. I expect to be able to pick up a book off the wall and open it and find a reference to someone from my family in there.
Whoa.
That's amazing.
So,
do you get into these museums for free?
No, it doesn't go that far.
You see that man over there?
Yeah, they're like, so you better fund this shit.
Yes.
So it keeps going.
What is your grandfather's name? I know he has a badass name.
Edison Uno.
Ooh, Edison!
He's got a small Wikipedia page if you want to look it up.
A small one?
Yeah, very small, but it does exist. So,
Uno?
So, yeah.
Is it
Uno?
Uno. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know how it's spelled?
In Japanese? Or in English?
I've never heard of Uno, but that's cool. I'm going to look
it up. That's common.
Yeah.
That's a common name.
Dang.
There was a character on Digimon whose last name was
So it's legit. It's legit. It checks out, Digimon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Digimon.
The mm-hmm. reference.
And Digimon's straight from Japan. So so I feel Japanese-American as fuck a lot of the time.
Whoa.
I do not feel Japanese.
Yes. Mm-mm. What is a very Japanese-American thing? Can you point to a very Vietnamese American thing is getting into a fight at a pho restaurant after clubbing? That's super Vietnamese American. Ultra.
That's
like,
dope.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. A super Japanese American thing. Having a funeral at a Japanese American church, and then afterwards you have the reception in the mess hall, and the entire reception food is Chinese takeout.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's very Japanese American.
Yes, yes.
Whoa.
We also love layered jello.
Okay, yes, layered jello.
We love layered jello.
There's a lot of
that.
Kind of Chinese crossover then, I feel.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that there, because I grew up with a very Pan-Asian experience mm-hmm. being from SF. Like, my Japanese American grandma would take me to Clement Street in San Francisco, which is basically like Chinatown.
Right.
And we would get Chinese food there, and people would speak Cantonese to her, and she'd be like, sorry. Because my grandma only speaks English.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Wow, we were talking about this before, and it's always like throws me still for a loop, even when I expect it, when I see an older Asian person And I'm like, oh, this is an old Asian person, and they have a perfect English accent.
Yes.
They don't speak the other language.
Yes.
But I'm like, oh, that is going to be me shortly.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, it's, well, for specifically my grandmother, that side of the family, that's because they lived through wartime, right?
Yes.
And so they like just totally like
I just got rid
quit
of
that
other.
Shit.
Yes.
They were like, no, we can't say these things anymore. We have to speak English.
Damn.
Dang.
Let's talk about that Chinese side.
Yes. Because
you are half.
I am half.
What is that like? How close are you with the Chinese culture?
You know, I consider myself to be pretty Chinese culturally. I don't know if this is because I'm currently dating somebody whose family is from Hong Kong. Mm. And so, like, we do a lot of Chinese stuff together.
Yes.
And also because, like, Chinese culture is more, what is it? It's just everywhere.
It's everywhere,
it's
yes.
It's everywhere, so it's easier to gain access to.
Yes.
Japanese culture, you sort of have to, it gets
you
sequestered
You have to kind of find
off.
It a yeah. little bit, mm. yes.
Gotta find it.
Well, you know, I mean, I've talked to Fumi about, you know, with my wife, she thinks, a lot of times we're, like, doing stuff, and she's like, how do you know all these Chinese things? And I'm like, well, Vietnamese people and Chinese people like have this whole love-hate
mm-hmm,
thing,
mm-hmm.
which is why like Korean people didn't until recently start fucking with dim sum, for example. But when
Korean
I go to the
people
dim restaurant,
don't fuck with anybody else.
Yes.
They do not.
No, they don't.
They don't do
it's
it.
An amazing thing that I got her to marry me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is her. This
her
is
family's
her.
Mad.
Hey! Oh, dude, don't. No, I don't want to get into it. But
sorry,
so, yes.
sorry.
No, absolutely. But like, so the, but yes, Chinese is almost like the lingua franca
yes.
of
yes.
it being Asian. You
yes.
have to kind of like have a base level like understanding of
well,
Chinese culture.
Because also, all right, and this is the, this is fighting words, but also yes. everybody was biting stuff off the Chinese.
Yeah,
like, and I say this
there
as a Japanese person.
Yes, there
like,
is a lot of that.
We bit a lot of stuff off of Chinese people.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, dude! You guys fuck with Confucianism? Oh shit,
right.
That shit is tight. Okay,
right.
Yes, filial piety. Yeah.
My Chinese side, it what is interesting about growing up, not just multi-ethnic, but also like sort of multi-generational, being that my mom is very, very Americanized, and my dad is less so.
Yes.
There's a big cultural difference there. So actually, like growing up, I always thought of my dad, who's Chinese, as being like very, very strict, very much closer to the stereotype,
right,
of like an Asian parent, quote unquote. I think he's just a straight up Chinese dad,
right?
Which is what Chinese dads are like. If they don't threaten you a little bit about a spelling test, he's not a Chinese dad.
Yeah, he's not a Chinese guy.
He's some other thing.
And you're like, I didn't even take a spelling test.
Right.
And you're just like, I don't care.
Right.
Just know.
And you're like, oh god, I'm gonna crap myself.
How did your parents meet?
In the Bay. I mean,
just like at a like you know that you ever know the story, because that's got to be like he probably first met your mom and was like, oh, this is an Asian person. Oh, she's not Asian at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, after a while, like, oh, this is really different.
Oh, you
I
know?
Think, maybe.
You think when they met, he was like, oh, you're so white. You think he, like, your dad?
I think at some, I'm thinking, I don't know. I feel at some point that must have happened.
I'm going to be real and say, I think that my dad, and this is the tea, I think my dad loves Japanese culture and loves Japanese stuff. So I don't know that he really was like, ah, oh, you're so American. I think he probably was like, this Japanese girl, like,
oh, wow.
Isn't that fairly
he's a weeaboo.
Rare for a Chinese man of his generation just because of the history?
Maybe. But again, my dad was born and raised in the U.S.
Ah,
he's
right,
first
right.
gen. His parents are immigrants. My dad grew up in L.A.
What?
Damn. This is so layered.
I know.
This is as layered as the Jell-O cake that we love to eat. This is crazy. So now, so you've come from a proud line of activists, people making the world better. Where did it all go wrong? And now you're a comedian. What happened? What happened? Or do you feel that you are an act? I mean, I feel a lot of people in the Bay automatically in their Twitter
yes.
bio activist.
We,
even if you're actually working at McDonald's or whatever.
Yes.
on my breaks.
Yes.
It's interesting. I go back and forth wondering because my grandfather on my mom's side, who was the activist, passed away way long before I was born. So I never knew him or anything.
Okay.
So I wonder a lot if he was alive, if he would be really into this thing that I'm doing,
yes.
or if he would be like, what the hell? But I mean, I don't think I consider myself to be an activist that necessarily. Mm-hmm. However, other people consider me to be an activist. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think a lot of that has to do with just being somebody who talks about their marginalized identities openly. Yes. And because I do comedy, being somebody who talks about their marginalized identities publicly on stage, mm-hmm. a lot of the time to audiences who aren't necessarily expecting that, I think people consider that to be activism.
I think it's funny because white people can talk about their experiences and it's just like, oh, it's a funny joke about dating, right? But if you talk about, and I'm talking about you and Fumi or whoever, us, it's like as soon as we talk about it, it's like, wow, you are a liberal, you know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as you start even mentioning like who you are, it's like, well, why you gotta shove this other identity down my throat?
That was the one thing that's annoying, is you'll do a joke about dating and you might mention that there's an Asian component to it.
Yes,
and then people label it as an Asian joke.
It's an Asian joke.
It's not an Asian joke. I just happen to be Asian. Scenario.
Yes,
but
which I am.
Then people go, you gotta stop doing Asian jokes. It's like, well, if you were listening, it's not about that.
Yes.
It's about MILFs. Yes.
I mean,
classic topic.
I am actively trying to not necessarily teach people things, but expose people to new points of view, or to show them like, hey, like this is what that means, or to change people's minds about stuff. So in that sense, like, I do think that there is some activism there, I guess, but I don't think it's the same as like actually like putting your body on the line,
right? Throwing a brick or something like that.
Right.
Did it take a while for you to get to that point? Because for me, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna do any Asian jokes. And then after a while, I was like, that's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, this is the thing that's funny to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel a lot of times, you know, humor comes from pain, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so like, where is the pain coming from? It's because I look like this. And so I end up talking about it. I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, did you go through an arc like that where you had to think, okay, I'm going to talk about this, or no, I'm not going to, I'm just going to try to talk about airports or whatever.
I mean, I definitely think that any comic has an ongoing process where you grow into learning, like, what are the things that you want to talk about or what's important for you to talk about. Although I've, like, always talked about identity and stuff, I did start in, like, some totally different direction. Mm. I'm only just now learning to talk about, like, race and ethnicity, mm-hmm. in a way, on stage. Like, my own race and ethnicity, and not being, like, Asian as a concept.
Yes.
Like, being, like, this is my experience,
yes.
as, like, an Asian person. And, like, also not trying to, like, play off of stereotypes or, mm-hmm. like, do any, I don't know, just, like, cheap shit jokes,
yes.
I think. And, like, just try to be truthful. So I feel I'm still learning how to do that.
Cheap shit jokes.
That's that's a good show name.
Cheap shit jokes.
And we just come up there and we're just like, Asian people be driving like this.
I feel like that's how, if my mom was fluent in English and saw my act, she'd be like, those are cheap shit jokes. What are you fucking doing?
Jess, were you a funny kid?
Yes. Yes.
I was a funny kid.
I was like, well, I don't know if I was so much a funny kid as I was annoying.
Well,
like I definitely was a kid in class who always had like a zinger, like the teacher, and I always was like,
please tell me you did this.
And then so you would raise your hand, and whenever you would raise your hand with the teacher, you'd be like, oh God, Jess, what do you want to say?
I think that, well, I actually, as an adult, I think, yes, they were like, again, but then at the same time, teaching is so boring,
yes.
that they probably were like, all right,
go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Go ahead, give it to us.
We always like to ask our guests this. How did your parents react to the fact that you are a comedian? This is what you're pursuing. I don't even know if you went to college or what you were pursuing before.
Of course I went to college. Don't be ridiculous.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Smith College
in
Massachusetts.
Lily Du went
there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she did.
So you lived out here for a little while.
Yes.
And then when was that? Oh, well, I guess you don't have to tell me, but like, you know.
I know, you're trying to age me. Yeah, well, that's okay. On the podcast, no one can tell what I look like.
So. That's very true. So what was it like going to Smith?
God. No, it was fun. It was crazy fun. So my trajectory school-wise is I started in public school in San Francisco, mm-hmm. elementary through middle school, which is very, very East Asian. Lots of Chinese people.
Totally.
Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese.
Did you try to go to Lowell?
I did not get into law.
Okay.
My sister went to law.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's smarter than me. But no, I did not get into that school. So I went to private school after that. I went to private high school, but it was like San Francisco alternative private school. So I was like, in some sense, I was used to going to school with a lot of white people at that point. Mm-hmm. I was used to going to school with a lot of rich people. So then when I went to Smith, I was like, this is going to be cake. I've already done this. I already knew how to do this. Smith, of course, is a women's college, for anyone who didn't know that, in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But East Coast white people are totally different.
Totally different.
Mm, yeah. Tell me more.
Okay. Yeah, I have a take on it, but I want to hear.
In the Bay, specifically in San Francisco, not saying this is good. But no. In my observation,
yes.
In San Francisco, white people who are very rich pretend to be poor.
Oh, God. Damn. You just dropped the knowledge bomb and
how so?
Straight up pretend to be poor. They wear fucked up, ripped up sweaters.
They look like they just came back from Tibet all the time.
Dirty ass shit. They smell. Their whole thing is they love to go. They love to camp. They love to hike.
They drive Subarus.
They farm.
Yes.
They love to farm. Their hair is greasy all the time.
Yes.
And then come Monday, they just go work at Netflix?
No, they have money.
They have money. They have a DJ career and they're 18 years old because their parents have a recording studio in the house.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like
family money. Okay.
If I ever want to be, you know how comics always say this shit about like, you know, I want to be the most famous person from my high school. If I ever want to be the most famous person from my high school, like, you know, all those people went to school with poor people.
Yes.
Not me, bitch. Like,
yes.
There's a kid that I went to high school with who originated a Broadway role last year.
What?
Originated it. There is a kid who really has been a DJ since she was like 14 years old. Now she plays like stadiums. I saw her on Instagram the other day, just like came up randomly. Multiple DJs, actually.
So many DJs.
Yeah, somebody who did a song with like Grimes or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it's like it was a lot of like that, like really more sort of grimy feeling careers, but they're rich people.
I feel too that the reason why, and I when I go back to the Bay, and I had this sense even when I lived there before I came out to New York, was that in some ways those quote unquote liberal white people in the Bay are kind of worse because they think they're helping you,
yes,
and they don't realize that they're still part of the system that holds you down.
Or they think, they legitimately like think they're not that rich.
Shit, that is an ultimate rich move.
I had a friend, one of my good friends from high school, who told me her family and my family were in the same socioeconomic bracket. Her dad was a vice president at Morgan Stanley.
Oh my God. What did your parents do?
My mom is a psychologist. Okay. My dad doesn't really do anything.
That's fucking sick.
That's great.
What did your parents think about you going into comedy?
I'm very lucky that they're pretty much cool with that as far as I can tell. I've been really, really lucky, especially with my mom. She really has this thing about like, well, you know, I can't have any expectations of what you're going to be like because you're not going to meet them and then I'll be upset. So you can just do whatever you want.
Oh my God, my dad said the same thing to me. Is that a Japanese thing?
Wait, I don't know. What?
I remember
it's like,
when we're,
come on, like.
Dude, I swear to God, because you know how, this is the thing I can't relate to. A lot of my Asian friends, my Chinese Korean friends, they always say my parents made me become a doctor or a lawyer. They made me apply to business school, right?
Yeah.
My dad, I remember talking to him about maybe being an engineer, and he was like, let's be honest, you're not smart enough.
Whoa. Our parents fortitude to be like, you are not that
yes,
smart.
Yes, that's my, he put me down. He's like, just go do whatever you want to do because you're not going to be an engineer.
Whoa.
Yeah, actually, you know what my mom always wanted me to do is she wanted me to be a plumber.
Really?
Yeah. And which is ridiculous. I obviously don't have the arm strength for that. But
look at these forearms.
She always was like, hey, you don't want to go to college? Don't go to college. Be a plumber. I have a PhD. A plumber makes more money than me. Why should you go to college?
Whoa. Man. So realistic.
I'm learning so much about Japanese culture.
It's amazing.
So you're like, since Mike, you are first generation.
Yeah.
So you're like a newbie over there.
So, okay. So I learned it as the first generation is actually the immigrant. So I'm second.
Mm.
I don't know. It depends
on.
Is
that how Vietnamese people count it?
That's how we did it at Berkeley.
Okay, because here's
ever heard of it?
A secret. When I say like fifth generation for me, that's actually counting the way Japanese people count it.
What? Whoa.
So what are Japanese people
I think that in American, big air quotes, I might see. Be fourth generation.
Whatever.
But Japanese Americans, at least from a long time, I don't think people do this anymore now. But back in the day, like people who lived through World War II here,
yes,
you were Issei if you
that's right.
if you came
Issei.
Over,
yeah,
and then Nisei if you were born here, and then Sansei Yonsei, and then you get to Gosei, which is me. Which nobody says.
That's
but
tight,
I say
dude. It sounds like you have like a fifth degree black belt. What are you? Gosei. You know, and then just punch a boulder in half and shit.
I wish it came with that. Like automatically, they were like, all right.
yeah, so I'm a second generation, but all these things that Jess is talking about, it makes perfect sense because, you know, and people always say, why is California so different? And part of it is the weather, and people underestimate how much that matters. It does a lot. And a part of it is because the way wealth is over there, it's a little newer.
Yes.
It is newer that we, you know, there's not like, you know, over here on the East Coast, it's like you trace it back far enough and everybody's a slaver, right? In California, it's a little newer, but it's also, it's a more like low key, you know, because it's cool to be like, I made my own wealth. Whereas in the East Coast, it's like people are proud of. And it helps them to be explicitly, I'm a legacy person.
Yes.
Yeah.
My family fucking built this part of town.
Yes.
And I'm rich, and that's a good thing. Whereas in California, it's like, well, I'm a DJ, and like my parents are like super like chill, you know?
Right, you know.
What do they do? You know, one of them's a stockbroker, but like whatever, you know? Like we all have our own journey, you know? Yeah. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Damn.
But that's how they sound. But like it's cool to be low-key, yeah.
Well, yeah, or you go to school with somebody that you think is like totally normal, and then later you find out her parents own the Gap.
Yes. Yes. Shouts to the Gap. That's where their headquarters are.
Yeah, East Coast is weird for sure. I worked with a guy at Ipudo, just a white guy. And again...
Well, there you go.
And scene. Stop.
And he dressed like shit. He smelled like shit. But I went to his house, which is located on the Upper East Side. His dude's family has a brownstone.
Fuck.
He is a direct descendant of Andrew Carnegie.
Oh, shit.
He has a letter from Andrew Carnegie like on his wall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is what we're up against.
For what?
The war.
Resources.
The war.
This is what it is. And we always wonder why we're losing. Because we're up against the Carnegie
guy.
But
is there an Asian equivalent of that? What's Asian wealth?
Well,
you see that in the Bay, right? Tell me more about that. That Asian wealth, man.
Well, we do tech wealth.
We do. That's a very new wealth.
Okay, I mean, Asian wealth gets disrupted all the time if you look at the history
of
things that happen in Asian countries. Like, not that I'm mostly talking out of my ass. Like, I don't know that much about it. But
the wealth of the Japanese immigrants here was disrupted.
Right, that's true. Or if you look at, like, the Cultural Revolution like, anything like that that just disrupted everybody's lives and everybody's families and presumably wealth, too.
Yes. Because you can't be carrying that shit on a fucking plane and shit as, like, your country's burning.
Mm.
Right.
They've had to restart multiple times.
Right.
You have to restart.
Damn.
But over here,
Korean
it's been...
people, they're rich. I don't know why.
Korean people are... They have some stability. They're part of a... And sort of the same with newer Japanese
people.
Because you have to have the stability. Basically, you still have access to your bank account from overseas. That's, like, the main thing.
Yeah.
These people, we didn't got that, you know... Shit, we have our own, you know, other things, and you know, if you're a refugee, you can't log on to CapitalOne.com and try to get like all that money that I had that was locked up in the fucking family safe or what the fuck
right.
it was
in the mattress.
In the mattress. We keep and you know Asian people, like a lot of Asian immigrants, are distrustful of finances because we had a government and that government imploded and like lost everything. So we're like, fuck that. You know how like Americans are really afraid of there's a lot of American white preppers. There's a lot of preppers.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, because they have a sense that like, oh shit could hit the fan. And Asian people, we saw that happen like many times. That's why, you know, you have immigrants keeping shit literally like in in the store or something like that. And then you become vulnerable to being just straight up robbed. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole other thing. So it's either you get robbed by the banker or you get robbed by like some punk. But anyway,
that's right. Capitalism.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shouts to capitalism, man.
Shouts to capitalism.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back, and we're going to talk about DOS Race News.
Race News.
This segment, we talk about different things that we've come across, some very usually depressing news related to Asian Americans. this is a fucking wallop of one, and this comes from NBC News. Shouts NBC News. And the headline here is Asian American voter enthusiasm up despite little contact from parties survey finds. So there was a survey, and what's really interesting about this is the 2018 Asian American voter survey, and this was published before the election, but I think it's very telling. And most importantly, there's a segment here. There's a paragraph. I'm just going to read the paragraph. I think a lot of people don't understand. Asian Americans understand, but a lot of people don't understand that Asian Americans are very diverse. And we were just talking about it, just as far as our experiences, our economic, socioeconomic backgrounds.
Types of Jell-O.
Types of boba.
Yes.
This is a very key thing, all right? Because your politics correspond in some ways to your drinks, you know? And I think that's really a really important thing to think about. And the one, I'm just going to read the paragraph here. A majority of surveyed, so they did a survey and they kind of just gauged the support that different Asian American groups had to different issues, different politicians. A majority of surveyed Vietnamese Americans approved of Trump, 64%.
Oof.
That's crazy.
Yikes.
And the only surveyed group to do so. Filipino Americans were equally were split with 48% approving, 48% disproving. And just to give you guys an example, Japanese American voters gave Trump the lowest approval rating, 14%. That's that
Yay.
Samurai honor.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Samurai honor. So this doesn't surprise me a tiny bit, because I've just how I know how Vietnamese people roll, and in some ways how Filipino people roll.
Okay.
But what are your takes, Jess? What do you think?
That does surprise me.
It
actually
does. Okay. Go
because
ahead.
People always want to. I mean, obviously, I understand the narrative is more complicated than this, but people tend to want to place Asian people in a sort of socioeconomic hierarchy or privilege hierarchy, in which case you would, like, if you want to do it really basically, you'd probably go, like, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, like, Vietnamese, Filipino. As you start to move down, you get into, like, Southeast Asian, Pacific Islander. So it does surprise me that the numbers seem to reflect almost an opposite of that.
Because you would think wealthier people would support like a more Republican conservative viewpoint.
To come back to this thing about Japanese Americans, it doesn't surprise me at all that multi-generational Japanese Americans are against Trump. That makes total sense to me. Especially because World War II internment camp happened.
You guys remember that time you locked us all up and took all of our shit?
Yeah, and a lot of us went through that and are descended directly from that. So it makes total sense to me that as we are seeing it happen again, we're like, no, we don't like that.
Yes,
we
actually,
and I'm glad that is the case. And I'm glad the numbers are reflecting that. But I am surprised to see that Vietnamese people and Filipino people
They actually said in the article that the poorer Vietnamese people especially supported Trump more.
Yes.
There's a relationship there.
And we can see a little bit of the demographics changing because Orange County is traditionally very where Vietnamese people, Vietnamese Americans are. It was very red there for a long time. And you know, California is generally very, very blue, and it's very red there. And in large part because Vietnamese people are Republican and very conservative socially. And there's a lot of things why. And part of it, one of the big theories I have is that Vietnamese people are actually quite cynical. And I think this has to do, we touched upon it, because Vietnamese people, we lost everything. And I'm not even talking about all of our stuff. We lost, like, the country, right? Mm. I mean, I'm talking about, I don't necessarily feel this way, but I understand. Like, we don't have, like, there. Just imagine you lost the place, you can't go home. There is no home anymore, right? That's a crazy thing to do to somebody. Mm. And because of that, what do you hold on to? If you don't have your identity anymore, you hold on to strength because you have to have something. You're like, okay, well, fuck it. Who is going to, you know, who am I going to, where am I going to put my place, my faith? And they identify with strong people. They identify with, like, well, quote unquote, someone they think of as strong. And in general, like the, you know, kind of hardline type of things, they have, there's a narrative of like survivalism and that sort of stuff that I think kind of permeates Vietnamese like identity, right?
Right.
On top of just other stuff, like the Republicans are actually very good at like courting Vietnamese people because of, you know, again, the war and that sort of stuff. So my parents are very like conservative, a little bit less so than they used to be, I think, because of their kids. But, you know, that makes sense. And I think also Filipino people. You know what it is? Vietnamese people and Filipino, what do they got in common?
You know, I was thinking, the one thing that's common between these countries is whenever there's like a white shooter, their girlfriend is always from those countries.
What a way to mine Thank you.
The first thing I noticed when I read that article.
I was going to say, Eric was going to say Catholicism.
Okay, well, that too. That was number two on my list. Yeah, you didn't let me fit. I'm kidding.
Catholicism is a big thing. And I got a shout out to one of my friends. She's a very smart person. She told me her theory about why this is. In Catholicism, there's always a good and a bad, and there's like punishment and, you know, that sort of thing. And this is, she was trying to explain why they elected, what's his name? The Filipino president. Duarte or something. Yeah, anyway, he's also like a, you know, hardline right guy, and it's because, you know, again, there's a feeling that people are evil and they need to be punished, they need to be stopped, you know, and that's a very like common narrative.
Wow.
You know, and I think that's what it is. They identify strength, quote unquote strength, with Trump, and they feel like there's bad people, and then we need to, you know, we just need to hold on to the thing we got. We need to hold on, because
this thing you mentioned with home. Do you think that your parents, because they can't go back to Vietnam anymore, America is their home now.
Yes.
And so, you know, Trump is they just protect this thing that we have.
They went through some like crazy traumatic thing, and they don't want shit to change because they went through that. You know, I used to have a joke about it. It's like, this is why it's like, if you think
about
it's
the suitcase, right?
Yeah. If you think it's bad to, like, you know, have to move and change roommates, you know, imagine how hard it is to move countries and identities. Yeah. Right. So it's like that they're like, okay, now we got my pho restaurant. And I'm not moving again. I just moved in, you know? I just moved in, you know? Yeah, and I'm not saying it's right, but that's what I think, you know, there is, it's a...
Yeah,
you know,
they, well, see, they when you explain it like that, it's very emotional, and I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
I'm just relieved that article said that there are, like, even given, you know, the diversity and the differences within Asian American communities, that overall they were more progressive leaning. I was actually surprised to see that.
I was
like, thank goodness. Oh my God. Thank God.
I was.
Thank God. We're doing okay. We're doing all right. We're not doing great, but we're doing all right.
So you listened to, and I don't know if you listened to the Karen's episode to the point where we talked about, I can't forget the name of the proposition where California tried to legalize gay marriage.
Prop 8.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was defeated. And in some small part to certain...
No, that is... Okay, can I clarify what Prop 8 is?
Okay, yes,
because it's
please.
Actually,
yes.
It's worse than that.
Okay.
Yes. No, it's worse than that. It is that the state of California granted same-sex marriage.
Oh, yes.
It was made to be legal.
Yes.
And then Prop 8 took it away.
Fuck!
Oh. So they put on the ballot, like, hey, we made this legal. Would you like to vote to take that right away?
Yes.
And then, yes, people did vote to take the right away.
Damn. We... as a democracy, voted to take rights away from other people. That's fucked up.
Yeah, on the same election as Obama winning the first time.
Yes.
So it was a real bummer. It was a real bummer to us in San Francisco to not really be able to fully celebrate.
Yeah, so
that Obama got elected.
And I was in the Bay Area at the time, and I remember walking through Chinatown, and like there would be the Chinese churches, and they would be trying to vote to, you know, to take away the right.
Yeah.
Because they identified, they kind of like the positioning, the strategy was that like this is like a, you know, moral, you know, issue about marriage. We got to protect marriage. Blah 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 blah. But I know that like, you know, you think minorities might be liberal, but they often aren't.
No, yeah. that's definitely like a huge generalization.
Yes. The other thing somewhat related is, and it is related. The first Korean American woman to be elected to Congress.
Oh, right.
Young Kim, that's her name. And she is a Republican.
But that's bad.
That is bad.
And I call total bullshit on that. This okay, is go. Where like I'm going to do the thing where I'm like, this is all identity politics, like the way people say about me. that's stupid. Like, that's not good. That's bad. Like, if somebody is going to be supporting policies that get people killed, get people's rights taken away, get people's money taken away, that is bad. Like, I don't care what your face looks like. Yes. I don't care what your skin color looks like. That is bad. It's not solidarity. It's not good to be like, yeah, it's
yay,
great because
yeah,
she's Asian.
First one,
it's like,
right,
that's
right.
Horrible.
Well, you know, and we've been talking about it, but I found out that, she was elected. And she's a Republican, and I was like, that's not at all surprising to me because Orange County, where she represents, 39th district in California, which includes parts of Orange County, is again very red, and a lot of Vietnamese American politicians, when they were running for local office, ran as Republicans. So for me, like, it would have been surprising for, you know, I'm still waiting for like Asian American Democratic, and there are a lot of them, a lot of politicians. You know, to start, you know, being able to get into Congress, et cetera, et cetera. So this, you know, yeah, cool.
I was going to say, you know, you said that Orange County was red. I was just thinking in my head, oh, is this progress? She's Republican, but she's Asian. So is that progress within Republicans?
No,
but you think
what is the word? It's co-opting. It's co-opting progressive like ideas and values such as quote unquote diversity.
Yes.
Right.
And then applying them to something that is actually hurtful and harmful to people. But then you can say like, oh, but it's
look
diversity.
Look at us. We're not racist.
I actually think it's even worse.
Because it looks like it's going to be one thing. Just like I was telling you, those rich people in the Bay Area, they think they're on your side, then they get in their Priuses and shit. Fucking.
Or like in the same way they're saying that shit about Jim Acosta and that intern, and they're sort of using this language of like, he's a man and he put his hands on a woman.
Oh, come on
and
now,
they're,
dog.
And they're co-opting that language to use it against us, and I actually think that's really insidious and dangerous.
Fucking tricky motherfuckers.
Do you guys know any Asian Republicans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, your parents?
My parents. I knew some Asian. There's like a young Republican club in at Berkeley, and they're so fucking annoying.
And they're all Asian.
And they would do stuff. They would like co-op stuff all the time. They would say, for example, I remember one time they had a campaign which was come out of the closet as a Republican.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
They said stuff like that. And I was like, you sons of bitches.
That's
and
awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so, like, yeah, but that's like a classic trick.
That sounds like a joke that somebody would write.
Right. I'm sure, you know, they would. Yes, it was bad.
My God.
So, yeah, there are some of them out there.
Were you part of that group?
And I came out and I wore a bow tie. Yeah, no, no. So, anyways, fun times for politics. Are you registered out here? You registered somewhere else?
I'm registered here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Where, Fumi, are you registered out here?
Yes.
Okay. Get your shit back over to
Ohio.
Yeah,
you maybe should be registered
in Ohio.
I know. It's, didn't even, yeah. My girlfriend makes me do all this stuff. It's nice. You know?
That's
nice. That's the one nice thing about, I think, dating a white woman.
Man, she is tired.
Anyways, And we're back, and we're going to play some games with our awesome guest,
Jess Tom.
Hi.
The first game we're going to play is Jess. You have a bit about it, and you talk about it sometimes. You had a viral video.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about the viral video.
I made a video with Chewy May, also a queer Asian stand-up comic. In 2016, that it is called Ghost in the Shell PSA. You can find it on Facebook, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's addressing whitewashing in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it went pretty viral.
Yes, and it brought all the trolls out.
It did. Ooh. It did. Like, actually, if you look on YouTube, I don't know why we didn't turn off comments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why we didn't do that. But it actually has like 6,000 thumbs down to like 2,000 thumbs up.
But that's how you know you're doing something right.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
No, people made response videos to it.
What? Like,
whoa!
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
The Amazing Atheist made a response video to it.
Oh, my
God.
Shit. I don't know that channel.
Who's
he's,
that?
He's just a bad, you know, one of those hairy white guys that sits in a swivel chair.
Yes. And it's like, excuse me, I'm going to use logic.
Yeah. And he's like, if you slow this down here, it's like, shut up.
Wait, is it one of those things where your video is playing on the right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, like people do that with like rap videos.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
But
he has
like a million followers or something. Mm. Like famous assholes came for that video and then they sent all their people to. But we also had great, very, very positive response to
it. Sure.
Well, I love that it has so many downvotes. And I love that people are getting up in arms because you got into their brains. Okay?
Yeah.
That's where you need to get
really
them.
Okay?
You need to get past their hairy, like barely grown beards and down into their basement and get into their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. So this game is called Downvoted. And we want to ask you, we're going to give you two like scenarios for videos. And you got to tell us which video would get more downvotes.
Okay.
You okay? So we're going to go at the first one. A video explaining intersectionality or a video about how Italian pasta is actually Chinese.
Oh, shit.
Which would get more downvotes?
I'm going to go with Italian pasta.
Yay! People love the food. They think that Italian... You think when you're going to Olive Garden, you're going to an Italian restaurant? That's a Chinese restaurant, my friend. Mm-hmm.
But also, here's the thing. Intersectionality, long word, big concept.
Yes.
Pasta is Chinese. Everybody understands that. Very controversial.
Like, I have a feeling about pasta and Chinese people. That's a good one. Here's another one. How about a video explaining white fragility?
Ooh.
Or a sketch about a transgender president?
I still think white fragility because it's like easier to understand.
Yes.
Like people just see that and they're like, no,
I'm not.
I'm
fragile. I'm tough.
It's all about the video titles.
Trans president, I feel like people would be like, what's this? Like, I don't know what
it's
this
a little
is.
Bit too much, too hard for them to understand. And they're still drinking their Mountain Dew. And the last one, a video game trailer featuring an all-female cast of characters or a video reimagining Batman as a black dude.
Oh, shit.
Right? You know, because nerds are often going to be liberal? They're not.
Mm-mm.
They're quite conservative in a lot of ways because they want to keep Superman white and Batman.
I think that Batman as a black man automatically elicits more of a knee jerk than just because like a movie trailer that's like all women, that could almost be just circumstantial.
Mm.
You know, you're like, yeah, it's a movie. Like if it was a Batman movie with all female characters, that's one thing.
Oh! How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you? This interview is over.
Yes. And I do think, I wonder how people's racism and sexism would play out
if it
was Batman as a black man versus Batman as a white woman,
compare that.
How people would get, I mean, they'd definitely get mad about both of them, for sure.
They definitely would.
But I'm interested to see what kind of ire, well, I know which, what kind of ire would come into both of them.
Man.
It would just be bad.
That's crazy. That's like if you had James Bond, but if it was Jamie Bond, you know?
I always think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have Idris Elba.
I feel like I just read a headline where somebody said, like, James Bond will never be a woman, like something like that.
Who?
Which I didn't even know people were asking about that. I knew we were talking about Idris, but I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't even know about that either. All right, well, that was a fun game, also depressing. But that's what this is all about, being depressed.
Wait, I wrote a few. Can I do one?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, sorry, cool. Fumi.
Okay. So same rules, which videos would get more downvotes? Okay, a white woman calling the cops on a black teenager walking, or an Asian girl calling the cops on her parents for abuse?
These are complicated.
But they're supposed to be fun.
Well, white women calling the cops on black people is a very viral thing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Every time I see a video like that, I don't know if I'm supposed to up it or down it. It's like,
right.
No, I don't right. like what's happening Good here. Point. Or up, like, thank you for uploading. Right. It's very yes. confusing.
And I'm like, I guess I'm glad that it's viral because I'm glad that, like, people are seeing mm-hmm, it a lot. Mm-hmm. An Asian girl calling her parents or calling the police on her parents for abuse.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Who took that video?
Good point.
Good point. Who her brother video? Was an asshole, probably.
Her brother, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you guys, is this a me thing? You guys never got hit by your parents?
I didn't get hit by my parents.
No. Oh my gosh.
They hit me emotionally.
Really? Oh my God. I yeah. threatened to call child abuse or child protective services so many times.
Really?
And yeah. My parents are like, oh yeah, go do it. And I never did. I don't know their phone number.
Well, my mom basically is child protective services.
Oh,
so
shit.
She can't hit me.
Damn.
I mean, she's not child protective services, right. but she helps those
Got
people
it.
Out.
Right.
Weird.
Or she helps
see,
she helps the kids out, you
so
know,
if
who
you,
are in right. bad
if,
situations.
If you called them, then your mom just answers the phone. It's like, what's up now? What's up now? Now do your homework. Are you going to do your homework now?
Can I talk to my mom?
That was a good one.
Okay, let's move on to the next game.
So the next game is okay, so this a little backstory on this one is, and as a non-binary comedian, this is why I wanted to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I interviewed once for a youth program, like as a kind of like a youth teacher, like person. And the program wanted to teach children, not necessarily children, but like middle schoolers, high schoolers, about like social issues. So for example, one of them is about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a weird thing for some kids to understand just because gender is something that's learned, but it's learned in a way that you don't know you're learning it, mm-hmm. right? And so, for example, the game would be, what gender is a fire engine? Like a fire truck. So you just put it out there, and then the kids have to kind of work through it. Like, why is a fire engine, is it masculine? Oh, it is, because firemen are masculine. Or is it feminine? And there's you give them a lot of objects, and they kind of have to put it on mm-hmm. the spectrum, and they have to, mm-hmm. And they realize that, oh, everything has a gender to it. Even for reasons which are fairly dubious. So so we're going to do that.
Is this game, not this game that we're about to play right now, but this game you were playing with the kids, is the point to teach them all of this is arbitrary, or is the point to teach them the fire truck is a man?
It's supposed to teach them to be aware that that things that they're learning things about gender, even if they're not aware that it's
okay,
about it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not to teach them. This is.
I guess
there's a right.
I can get into this game.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be like you, this is you know you call a fire truck a dude or something like that. So we're gonna play. What gender is the following things? Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Is. Cheesecake is a man. You know why?
Mm.
Do you know why?
Why?
It's because women really want it. But it's not that good for you.
Dang!
Whoa, Jess! Ouch!
Roasted by the cheesecake. I've never been cheesecake roasted before. Oh, how could something so good hurt me so bad? How about this?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. This is good. This is good. I don't know if I want to continue because I keep getting hurt.
You asked me to be on this show.
I did. I play with fire. This is what I get. How about an Uber pool ride?
An Uber pool ride. Gosh, these are difficult to gender.
Yeah.
Things.
It might not be anything.
Yeah, Uber pool. I mean, I think Uber pool is pretty gender fluid,
yeah.
isn't it? Because it really depends on who's in the Uber with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The experience can really change.
Yes, I've been in Ubers with drunk white girls, but I've also been in Ubers with an Asian dude who used the N-word a lot.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I didn't see his face for a long because I was in the front seat yeah. and he was in the back seat and he yeah. kept saying the N-word, this and that, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he got out of the car and I saw him and I was like, what the fuck was happening? And I feel that he might have been saying the N-word louder to impress me in some way.
He was from the Bay.
Ooh, you get those
God
in the bay
damn.
Too? You get those in the bay?
Well, yeah. Like, oh, Filipino people say it all the time. Vietnamese people say it a lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Chinese people, all of them. They're all, they're crazy. I don't know. I don't know who taught them that that was okay.
Damn.
But you know why? It's because there's no black people, at least in San Francisco, there's no black people to beat them up, basically, and be like, fuck you. So they get crazy out there.
See, this video about intersectionality is working out. how about this one? Overdraft fees.
Oh, overdraft fees are obviously masculine.
Yes, yes.
Obviously.
Obviously. Why is that?
Because they're fucking you. And you don't want it to happen.
You don't want to get out of here. Oh, man. That was a good game.
Oh,
and,
damn.
And our feelings are hurt, and that's the point of the game.
Good.
That is the point of the game.
Good. That, my job is done here. It's what I came here to do.
And that's our episode. Yay. I wanted to thank our guest again, Jess Tom.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yay. Thank you
very,
for having
very
me.
Awesome. I hope you hurt our feelings enough, and that, I hope that was amazing.
Just enough until the next time.
You can catch Jess at a lot of different things.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over the place performing. I just redid my website.
Shit.
It's www.jesstom.com. That is JESTOMDOTCOM.com, because that is very clear and easy to follow.
Super clear.
You can also find me on Twitter at JessTom, that's JESTOM, or on Instagram at JessTheKid, JESTheKid.
I love your Twitter.
I love that.
It's super Thank good. You.
And also, fans, please follow us on the Instagram. We have a joint account at AsianNotAsianPod. And then you can find me at the Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro. And then on Twitter at NicePantsDude.
Hey, nice variation.
Genders.
Yeah. Also, come out to our monthly show. We have a show called Hack City Comedy. That's every third Wednesday. The next one is the day before Thanksgiving, November 21st, 8 o'clock.
So if you don't have a family, come hang out with me.
That's at 172 Rivington Street. So come check that out. And also, please support our Patreon page. We have a lot of cool stuff planned, and we would love for you to be a part of it.
Yay! Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, thank you, Jess, for coming on. And we'll see everybody next week.
Woo!
All right, bye!
Bye!
Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party, the creators of Family FM. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.